Thank you. Goeiemôre gemeente, baie welkom in die erediens. Ons hou ook 'n spesiale woord van welkom vir die gaste wat vanmôre hier is. And also Profilwe that is come today to preach for us. We are very grateful that you are here. And I hope that the Lord will give us a blessed service together. Eerste die afkondigings namens die kerkraad. Vandag is die kollektes bestem vir die kerk en die tweede kollekte vir die sending. Dan ingekom met belydenis attestaat vanaf VGK Pretoria, broeder en suster Albert en Emmy van Rensen. Mag julle tuis voel in die gemeente en die seën ook hier ervaar. En ja, ons sal bly wees as julle ook julle gawes aanwend tot eer van die Here in hierdie gemeente. Klasse Suid het tydens sy vergadering van 1 Julie vir broeder Jaco de Beer geëksamineer en sonder enige huiwering besluit om hom as kandidaat aan die kerke voor te stel. Ons dank die Here hiervoor. Ons beveel hierdie broer by die kerke aan waar hy nou beskikbaar is vir 'n beroep vir 'n tydperk van 1 jaar. Dan op versoek kom leer saam met Prof. Willem den Hollander oor Christus in die ware tempel aanstaande Saterdag 19:30 by die kerk. Bring 'n vriend of familielid saam. Daar sal voor die tyd 'n ligte maaltyd en verversings beskikbaar wees. Die gemeente word gevra om die uitnodiging vir 4 mense wat jy ken aan te stuur. Dan alle seuns, jong manne en ouers wat meer wil weet oor teologiese opleiding in die VGK SA word hartlik uitgenooi na inligtingsvergadering wat DV gehou sal word by die VGK Pretoria Maranata aanstaande Vrydag 19:30. Prof. Willem den Hollander van die CRTS sal ook toelichting gee oor die MDiv program by CRTS. Die sessie sal ook online aangebied word en meer inligting is beskikbaar van broeder Gerard Hag van Deputate Theologiese Opleiding. Tot sover die afkondigings. Ons sal sing as Fotum Psalm 121 vers 1. Laat ons nou gaan staan. Gemeente, ons hulp is in die naam van die Here wat hemel en aarde gemaak het. Genade vir julle en vrede van hom wat is en wat was en wat kom en van die 7 geeste wat voor sy troon is en van Jesus Christus die getroue getuie, die eersgeborene uit die dode en die owerste oor die konings van die aarde. Amen. Dan as antwoordlied sing ons Psalm 63 en daarvan verse 2, 3 en 4. Thank you. Gemeente, ons sal nou luister na die liefdesgebod van die Here, soos het opgeteken staan in Exodus 20, en ons sal sing in antwoord daarop van Psalm 119 en daarvan verse 6, 7 en 11. In u wet smaak ek 'n vreugde, groter as waar hy van weet, wat sy goed en aardse skatte in hul waarde nie kan meet. Daarby bly ek altyd besig, daar my soetste oorpeinsing is, mag maar niks die bron van vreugde ooit uit my gedagte wis. Toe het God al hierdie woorde gespreek en gesê, ek is die Here jou God, wat jou uit Egypte land, uit die slawehuis uitgelei het. Jy mag geen ander gode voor my aangesig hê nie. Jy mag vir jou geen gesneede beeld of enige gelykenis maak van wat bo in die hemel is, of van wat onder op die aarde is, of van wat in die waters onder die aarde is nie. Jy mag jou voor hulle nie neerbuig, en jy mag hulle nie dien nie, want ek, die Here jou God, is 'n jaloerse God, wat die misdaad van die vaders besoek aan die kinders, aan die derde en die vierde geslag van die wat my haat. En ek bewys barmhartigheid aan duisende van die wat my lief het en my gebooie onderhou. Jy mag die naam van die Here jou God nie ydelik gebruik nie, want die Here sal die een wat sy naam ydelik gebruik nie ongestraf laat bly nie. Gedenk die Sabbatdag dat jy dit heilig. Ses dae moet jy arbei en al jou werk doen, maar op die sewende dag is die Sabbat van die Here jou God. Dan mag jy geen werk doen nie. Jy of jou seun of jou dogter of jou dienskneg of jou diensmaagd of jou vee of jou vreemdeling wat in jou poorte is nie. Want in ses dae het die Here die hemel en die aarde gemaak, die see en alles wat daarin is, en op die sewende dag het hy gerus. Daarom het die Here die Sabbatdag geseën en dit geheilig. Eer jou vader en jou moeder, dat jou dae verleng mag word in die land wat die Here jou God aan jou gee. Jy mag nie doodslaan nie, jy mag nie egbreek nie, jy mag nie steel nie, jy mag geen valse getuienis teen jou naaste spreek nie. Jy mag nie jou naaste se huis begeer nie, jy mag nie jou naaste se vrou begeer nie, of sy dienskneg, of sy diensmaagd, of sy os, of sy esel, of iets wat van jou naaste is nie. gemeente, dat ons nou na Vader gaan by die opening van sy woord. Almagtige God en barmhartige Vader, ons dankie dat ons weer vanmôre in die huis mag kom. Vader, dat ons weer u woord mag hoor. Here, ons dankie ook dat u vir ons bedienaars van die woord verskaf. Here, waar ons gister die ondersoek van broeder Jaco de Beer mag deurgaan en dat hy nou beroepbaar gestel is. Here, seën hom en gee dat hy, as hy ook 'n beroep kry, met vrug in die koninkryk kan werk. En Here, dan vandag hier in ons diens mag Rufiel wat voorgaan. Here, u het hom ook op 'n lang pad geneem van studie en u het hom by die eindpunt gebring sodat hy nou u woord kan bring. Vader, dankie dat u ons na die lig van die waarheid en die kennis van die heilige evangelie gebring het. Open ons harte en verlig ons verstand, sodat ons u woord diep in ons harte mag bære en dit mag onderhou. Here, ons vra dat u vandag sal wees met Rufiwa, dat hy die woord mag bring en dat hy dit suiwer en vrymoedig mag verkondig. Here, vervul hom met die Heilige Gees en gee dat hy kragtig die woord mag oorbring. Here, dan maak u ons harte oop en gee dat die woord sterk in ons harte mag val sodat dit ons kan voed en dat dit ons kan krag gee vir die week wat voorlê, sodat ons gewapen met die woord deur die lewe mag gaan. Vader, ons vra dan ook dat hierdie diens verder sal seën om Christus wil. Amen.
Goeiemôre, good morning everyone. I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so happy to be back here again. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Luke chapter 12. We're going to read verses 13 through verses 21. After the scripture reading, we are going to sing. We're going to sing Psalm 49. We're going to sing verses 3, 4, and 6. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, those whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." text this morning is found in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. We're going to read verses 2b through verse 10. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among the people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a world where people are just looking out for more and more of the things of this world without any satisfaction. It's either money, materialism, entertainment, and many other things. If I was to ask you this morning, how many people can boldly say today that you are satisfied? How many people can say, I am satisfied with who the Lord is for me and what the Lord has given me? Earlier on, we read from the parable, from the book of Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool whose land produced plentifully, and he didn't even have enough space to store his crops. This man had an opportunity. He could have used this opportunity maybe to share what he had with the people around him, especially those in need. And the Bible tells us that this man thought to himself that maybe the best way for him was to enlarge his barns and then store many crops for himself so that he can enjoy a comfort life for the next few years. Just imagine what this man is doing. And just before the parable, Jesus said something. Jesus warned, he gave a warning in verse 15. And he said, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. And every time when I read this passage, I feel like Jesus was specifically talking to this generation today. If you look around, everyone these days has given themselves to so much covetousness and greed. People have given themselves so much into accumulating the things of this world. People are never satisfied with what they have, and they keep wanting more and more and more. Are you busy trying to get rich in the Lord, or are you busy trying to store your treasures here on this earth? My theme today is the pursuit of godliness with contentment. And I want to talk about 2 points this morning. The first one is the profit of godliness with contentment. And then secondly, I want to talk to you about the dangers of discontentment. If you look at this book, in the first chapter of the book of 1 Timothy, Paul talked about the false teachers who were busy teaching in Ephesus. These are the people who were trying to teach false doctrine, false and destructive doctrines of the people or in the churches of God. And if you have read the first chapter, you will realize that Paul gave Timothy a warning, and then he wanted Timothy to stop those kind of people and to warn the children of God, to warn the believers in the churches not to listen to those false teachings that profited people nothing. Paul gave this warning against those people who devoted themselves into listening to myths and all those sorts of things. And Paul wanted the people to devote themselves to the word of God, to come closer to the word of God. And then here in this chapter, in chapter 6, we read that Paul says, mentions again about these false teachers. And he tells us something about these false teachers. And then Paul says here, let me just read this verse. Paul says that he warns about these people, and he says that everyone who teaches a different doctrines are these people were the people who were very puffed up. They thought that they knew everything. They thought that they understood the word of God while they did not know anything at all. And they were busy teaching the people things that were contrary to what the word of God teaches. And Paul here is giving us this warning. And he said, these people, the only thing that they intend to do in the churches of God is to cause controversies, to cause all kinds of disasters in the church, to divide the church of God. And then Paul gives Timothy this warning. And then if you read it in the King James Version, even there's a sentence that says, even stay away from these people. This is what Paul was trying to say. And then Paul says that one of the characteristics of these people, of these false teachers, was that they imagined that godliness was a means of gain. This is what he says, Paul, here in verse 5. He says they imagine that godliness is a means of gain. These are the people who were teaching the congregation of God that being a Christian is a means of monetary gain in some kind of a way. And then Paul wants to correct this false teaching, because Paul does not want people to think that when we become children of God, we are coming to God because we want to gain something from Him. Paul doesn't want people to think that coming to God, we come to Him in order for us to be rich in the things of this world. And then Paul says that these people were imagining that godliness is a means of gain. I don't know about you here, but then where I come from, in many churches in our community, we have people who have this kind of thinking. We have people who go to church thinking that if I go to church, I will find a godly wife, or I will be able to marry a good husband. There are people who go to church because they think that if I go to church, I will get this or that, or maybe the Lord will give me money, or the Lord will give me this or that, whatsoever. We have people who come to church looking for something, but then their hearts are not drawn to God, and their hearts are so far away from the Lord. And Paul doesn't want this kind of attitude to be in the churches of God. He doesn't want believers to think that we come to God in order for us to gain something. But then I like what Paul says here. If you look at verse 6 of this chapter, Paul says something interesting here. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What is interesting here is that Paul doesn't want to be misunderstood in any way. Because remember in verse 5, he talks about these false teachers who imagine that godliness was a means of gain. But then what Paul is trying to say here is that it does not mean that there's nothing to gain in godliness, in being children of God. Paul says that godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, what he's trying to say to us is that there's so much that we as children of God gain when we become children of God. There's so much that we receive from the Lord. You can think about all the promises that the Lord has given us in His will, in His Word. Think about the forgiveness of sins. Think about all the things that we receive by being children of God. Paul says that there is so much that we gain from God. There's so much that we gain from what Christ has done for us. But it goes along with contentment. This is the main point that is trying to make, that we have to be content with who the Lord is for us and what the Lord has given us. Most of the time, we're not content, and we still continue to look for more and more of the things of this world, because we don't really understand that there's so much that we can gain from God. There's so much treasure that we can receive from what Christ has given us. Paul says that godliness with contentment is great gain. God has so much that is laid up in store for us. He has so much that is laid up in store for all those who pursue righteousness, all those who pursue godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. You can read that in the 11th verse of this chapter. But then Paul says that he wants us to be content with what we have in this world. He doesn't want children of God to live like the world, to live a life that is not satisfied, trying to look for more and more of the things of this world. If we live our lives without contentment, that is a sign that there's something wrong with our spiritual life. Lack of contentment shows a lack of godliness. If you are a Christian and you find yourself still looking for more and more of the things of this world, you have to ask yourself if you are living your life in the way that God wants you to live. If we pursue godliness in our spiritual life, that will teach us to forget about the things of this world and to focus more on who God is. Paul says something that is interesting here in verse 7. He says, "For we brought nothing into this world. We brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of this world." This is important because if we brought nothing in this world, this means that the purpose that we are here is not to accumulate the things of this world. The main point, the main reason for us to be in this world is to glorify God. Then why, you must ask yourself, then why do we find ourselves most of the time trying to accumulate the things of this world? That is not something that we should be busy doing in our lives, especially as Christians. The main goal for us is supposed to be pleasing God, living our lives for God, doing everything that God wants us to be doing. Paul says, we will take nothing out of this world. Even the things that we try to accumulate in this world, we won't even take them out of this world. But then if we focus on godliness and Christ Jesus and what he has done for us, there's so much for us that we can gain. And everything that we have, what is interesting is that we will even be able to take it out of this world. If your main goal in life is to get all the riches, if your main goal in life is to accumulate the material wealth of this world, you have so much to lose. But then if your main goal is to lay up your treasure in Christ in heaven, you have a lot to gain as a Christian. Let me ask you this question once more. Are you content with what the Lord has given you in this world? Are you still thinking that maybe I still need something, I still need more? There are so many people who live their lives depressed in this world because they think that maybe if I can have just a little more, maybe I will be fine. Maybe if I can just buy another car, or maybe if I can buy another property, maybe my life will be satisfied. And we spend most of our time doing that instead of pursuing after godliness and focusing on what Jesus Christ has done for us in salvation. If you think for a second, all the things that you and I are focusing on right now. If I can talk about all the investments, maybe the material gain that we have in this world. What is going to happen to all of those things if you and I die tonight or today? What will happen to all the things that you have worked for so hard? If that is all that you are doing in this world, you can think about the example that Jesus gave about the rich fool in the book of Luke chapter 12. But if you invest your life in godliness, you know that even when you die in this world, even your family will keep walking with the Lord, and they will keep loving the Lord all the days of their lives, even after you are gone. But then if all that you are focusing on is to accumulate the things of this world, you have so much to gain, to lose. You can imagine, maybe if I can make an example, imagine a man who has maybe so much money in the world, maybe 10 million rands in his bank account. What is this money going to help him with when he's on his deathbed, dying? when he's on his way to meet with his maker. Think about all the money that he accumulated on this world. How is it going to help him when he's dying? Because if he didn't put his faith in Christ, and if he did not pursue godliness in any way, he has so much to lose. But then if he all his life, his main goal was to pursue after godliness and faith, even at death, the Bible tells us that he has nothing to lose. He gains everything. Even at death, he has Christ to gain. So what I'm trying to say to you is that may all our focus in this world not be put on the things of this world, but then on Christ Jesus in the pursuit of godliness. May we all try to pursue godliness and righteousness and steadfastness and gentleness all the days of our lives. And may we learn to be content with what we have in this world and what the Lord has given us. May we try to learn, because there's so much to gain if we pursue godliness. There's so much to gain from the Lord, from who he is and what he has given us. Which brings us to the second point, the dangers of discontentment. If you look at verse 9 of this chapter, Paul talks about the dangers of discontentment, the dangers of living a life with the desire to accumulate more of the things of this world, or living your life with the desire to be rich in the things of this world. If you look at the way in which people live today, when we look at people who are rich in this world, most of us, we have the desire to become like them. We want to have the things they have. We want to have everything. We just want to live our lives. We wish that we were like them in so many ways. And we don't realize how that desire to be rich, or that desire to have so much of the things of this world, could affect our faith. So many people have convinced themselves that maybe if I can have a lot of money in this world, maybe I will make a difference in my community. If I can accumulate a lot of money in this world, I will donate to the poor and to many different kinds of charity organizations. But it's so amazing that many people forget, once they get that money, they forget even the things that they wanted to do in the first place. It's so easy to forget all those kind of things. And then the problem is that once you start to have all that money, what Paul is saying is that you will not be satisfied with that money, and you will still continue to desire to have more and more and more, because there is no satisfaction in the things of this world. You will never find satisfaction in your desire of being rich. You will never find any satisfaction. You will never find any happiness. Paul is saying here that the desire to be rich comes with all sorts of temptations. It comes with all sorts of temptations, and he says that the temptations that plunge people into destruction. Once you have all those things that you wish for, all those things that you desire in this world, don't you think that it will change your life? Once you have all the money in the world, will you be able to still look at God and see him as a provider? Will you be able to still pray to God and ask him to do things for you, to provide for you? Now you have all the money in the world. You can marry whoever you want to marry. You can buy everything that you want. Will you still continue to depend upon the Lord? You and I as Christians are called to depend upon God in each and every aspect of our lives. Whether we have something, whether we have money or not, still we are called to depend upon him. But then think about the time when you have everything that you need in this world. It's so easy to forget who God is. It's so easy to focus on what God wants you to do in this world. You forget about it's so easy to forget about the gospel. Your life as a Christian. Paul says that this desire to have all the things of this world, the desire to be rich, comes with all sorts of temptations. It is very dangerous for us as Christians to live or to desire to live a life where we do not have to depend upon God. If you look at verse 10, Paul says here, he says, the love of money, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is not the problem with the money here is not the problem. The issue is not with the money, but the problem is with our hearts. If our hearts are not drawn to God, if our hearts are drawn to the things of this world, that's where you and I will make a lot of mistakes in this world. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith, and Paul says that they have pierced themselves with many pangs. The love of money is what causes all the evil in the world. It is the love of money that causes families to be broken. It is the love of money that causes churches to be divided. People fight and kill one another because of the love of money. And Paul is giving us this warning this morning in order for us to guard our hearts against this sin, against this sinful desire. Because of this sin, because of this love of money, that is the reason why many Christians today have given themselves to many kinds of addictions. Many people have given themselves to gambling addictions because of this love of money. And they're no longer living their lives faithfully to the Lord, because they still believe that if I can have more and more, maybe my life will be better. Paul says this love of money is very dangerous. This is not the kind of a desire that you and I as Christians should be focusing on. But you and I should be pursuing after godliness all the days of our lives. And please understand that we're not saying that being rich is a sin. This is not what Paul is saying. God is capable. God has all the power to give us the riches for us to enjoy in this world. But with that comes a lot of responsibility. And the point that he's making here is that our hearts should not be drawn to the things of this world. We should guard our hearts against the love of money, against the desire to be rich. My brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful and guard our hearts against this sin. Let us not allow Satan to put this evil desire in our hearts. May we ask the Holy Spirit to help us in the pursuit for godliness and contentment. May the Lord help us to be content with what we have. May the Lord break all the desires in our hearts that are not in line with His word. May it be a prayer in our hearts every day that, Lord, teach me to be content. Teach me, Lord, to pursue after godliness, to be content with everything that you have given me. Maybe the Lord has given you very little compared to what other people have, but you still have to be content with everything that He has given you. If you look at the way in which we live our lives every day these days, we don't have any desire to pursue after godliness. All we do is try to live our lives in such a way that does not show any desire for godliness. Some of us, we wake up in the morning, we go to work, we come back and we watch TV, use the internet, social media, and then you go to sleep. And same thing, same routine every day. How much time do you spend every day feeding your soul compared to the time that you feed your flesh? Are you pursuing after godliness, or are you pursuing after the things of this world? And the more you continue pursuing after the things of this world, you will never find any satisfaction in any way. You will never find any joy. You will just continue to desire more and more and more. Even if it's television, you will continue to watch more and more of it. But then if you pursue after godliness, if you devote yourself, your heart to the Lord, you will find joy. You will find satisfaction. You will find contentment in the Lord. You will find contentment in who the Lord is, in Christ Jesus. What you and I should be doing every day of our lives is to treasure Jesus Christ, to cherish him, to see him as the main priority in our hearts. He is the one we're supposed to treasure right here on this earth. We don't have to wait until we go to heaven. We have to start here in this world. Jesus Christ should be our main priority in life. And only in him can we find contentment. Only in him can we find satisfaction and joy. Money does not bring happiness, but Jesus Christ can give you all the happiness that you need in this world. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstance you are going through. It doesn't matter what kind of life challenges that you are facing in your life, but if you have Jesus Christ, you will find joy in whatever circumstance. And our main goal should be loving him and living our lives for him. Our main goal should be storing up treasures in him in heaven and not on this world. What the Lord has given us here on this earth is good and it's a blessing for us to enjoy. But let us not make it our first priority. Let us make Jesus Christ to be the first one, the first priority in our lives. Let us seek him and let us ask him to give us more strength to seek him and to love him and to live our lives for him. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It is more than all the things that we can try to accumulate in this world. It is more than all the money that we can have in our bank accounts. May God help us to be content with who he is for us and what the Lord has given us. Amen. Let us sing from Psalm 36. We're going to sing verses 2 and 3. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. to the Lord in prayer. Then after that, we're going to take our collection. And at the end of the collection, we are going to sing Psalm 146, verses 1, 5, and 8. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I come before you this morning. Lord, we thank you for giving us this privilege that we can come and listen to your word. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace upon us. And we thank you for the love that you continue to show us each and every day. We thank you, Lord, that we could read this morning from the book of 1 Timothy as you warn us against the desire, Lord, to be rich, the desire to try to accumulate the things of this world. Father, we have wronged you in so many ways, and we acknowledge our sinfulness this morning. And many times we live our lives not focusing or not pursuing after godliness, but after the things of this world. We pray and ask that you may forgive us, Lord, and that you may humble us, and that you may give us the strength to focus on you, Lord, in each and everything that we do. And that we pray, Lord, that you may teach us to be content while we live in this world. We pray, Lord, that you may help us, O God, to accept whatever comes in our way, Lord, and that we may be content with who you are for us, Lord, and what you have given us. Father, we pray that you may be with each and every individual in this place. We pray that you may be with the children, Lord. We pray that you may be with us in each whatever thing that we need in this world. We pray that you may be the one who provides for us. Teach us to depend upon you, Lord. Help us not to depend upon what we have or all the material wealth that we have, but to trust in you in each and everything, Lord. Father, we pray that you may be with us this morning, Lord. Those who might be going through difficulties, those who might not be feeling well in their bodies, we pray that you be the one, Lord, to remember them and that you may be with them and fill them with your grace, Lord. We pray for your congregations, Lord, as a whole. We pray for all our churches, all the members, the ministers, everyone, Lord. We pray that you may continue to bless them and to lead them and to fill them with your wisdom, Father. Father, we pray this morning that you be the one that we live our lives for. Help us to walk humbly and faithfully before you. Father, we pray that you may continue to remind us as we live this in this world that you are the one that we're supposed to live for, that you are the one, our main priority in life. Father, we pray that you may continue to guide us with your spirit and that you may continue, Lord, to strengthen us to live our lives for you. Father, we pray and ask all these things, not forgetting to ask for the forgiveness of sin. Father, we pray that you may forgive us in each and every aspect, every sinful, every sin, every trespass that we've trespassed against you, Lord. Help us, God, to be faithful and to live our lives for you each and every day, to walk with you, to trust in you, and to depend upon you in everything, Lord. Father, we pray and ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. receive the Lord's blessings and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.